Christ's cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Well, who owns Palestine? That is the ultimate question, folks. It's always been debated for the last couple hundred years, but the question arrives to an awesome response. It sure does. And in March of 1945, for example, the King of Saudi Arabia wrote a lengthy letter to President Franklin Roosevelt as to why the Arabs ought to be the masters of Palestine and why the Jews should be driven out. In light of recent developments in the Middle East, this response by Noel Smith could not be more appropriate. The starting point to the settling of the question of who owns Palestine, and I might add it's really properly called Israel, is Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Abraham's covenant seed was to be through the line of Isaac. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Genesis 17:19. The land was given to Abraham and his seed through the line of Isaac, for an everlasting possession. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of the Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. Genesis 17:8. You can't make anything plainer than that. The Mohammedan Arabs know all about these promises in Genesis. They know more about them than most American Christians know. If these promises are valid, Palestine belongs forever to the descendants of Abraham through the line of Isaac and belongs to nobody else. Here are the questions to be settled before any other question concerning the ownership of Palestine is to be considered. Is the book of Genesis an authentic record? Did Almighty God deed and convey to Abraham and his seed through the line of Isaac and for an everlasting possession all the land between the Nile and the Euphrates rivers? Did Almighty God have the right to do it? Has Almighty God ever revoked the deed and conveyance? The answer to these questions is the starting point to the settling of the question of who are the rightful owners of Palestine. These questions, as serious as they are, do not so much as touch the basic question. The first question is, who owns the land? The Bible says that God deeded and conveyed it to Abraham and his seed through the line of Isaac for an everlasting possession. The deed and conveyance has never been revoked. That settles the question of the ownership. In his letter to the Mohammedan king, began with the Canaanites, the earliest record history of Palestine begins with the year 3500 B.C., its first inhabitants being the Canaanites, an Arab tribe which immigrated from the Arab Peninsula and has its first abode in the lowlands, hence the name Canaanites. The king then went on to deal with Joshua. Joshua the son of Nun captured the city of Jericho from the Canaanites with great cruelty and barbarity. Witness his words to his army, "Burn ye all that is in the city, and slay with the edge of the sword both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep, and burn the city with fire and all that is therein." Joshua 6:24. This brings up the question of the Canaanites. The Bible paints the Canaanites as the most degraded and vile people of their time. In the 18th chapter of Leviticus, Israel is warned against the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwell, and against the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you. Leviticus 18:3. And in Leviticus 25, we read, "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land," referring to Canaan, "is defiled. Therefore I do visit iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants." Well, I'll tell you right now, may I add, that even in the United States of America, we are witnessing the beginning of vomiting out all of the defilement that's going on in this country. It is not to be wondered at that we should read the following concerning such an unimaginably vile and degraded people. Deuteronomy 9:4 says, "Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God has cast them out from before thee, saying, For my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee." The Canaanites had forfeited their right to live in that land or in any other land. Secular evidence has confirmed everything the Bible says about the utter abandon and degradation of these people. Joshua did what he did at the express command of Almighty God. "When I have to choose between the Mohammedan king and Almighty God, I will take God's side." The king, now referring now to the Saudi Arabian king there in March 1945, the king then told President Roosevelt that the Arabs occupied Palestine in 637 A.D. and that Arab rule lasted for 880 years. By what right did the Arabs occupy Palestine in 637 A.D. is the real question. The king did not say. Then said the king, "Palestine passed under the rule of the Turks in A.D. 1517, and their rule lasted 400 years. By what right did the Turks occupy Palestine and rule it for 400 years? The king did not say. And why doesn't Turkey have the same right to own and rule Palestine as the Mohammedan king and his Mohammedan allies? If the Arabs were the original inhabitants of Palestine, as the king contends, They were driven out by Almighty God because their vile character had forfeited their right to live in Palestine or anywhere else. What has happened from that day to this to constitute a valid claim of the Arabs to return to and possess that land? Nothing has happened. It is true that the Jews were driven out by God in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. They spent 70 years in Babylon as captives. And in 70 AD, the Jews were driven out and scattered all over the world, where they are still scattered except for those that have returned to Palestine. We all know that the Jews were driven out because of their sins. But the fact that a man is sent by a court to penitentiary does not give anybody the right to confiscate his property, regardless of prisoner's crime, regardless of how long he remains in prison. His property, assuming a valid deed and conveyance, remains his property, and when he dies, becomes the property of his heirs. Palestine originally, as does all the earth, belonged to God. God deeded and conveyed it to Abraham and his seed through the line of Isaac for an everlasting possession. And not only Palestine, but all the territory between the Nile and Euphrates rivers. The deed and conveyance has never been revoked. The Jews going back to Palestine are not invaders. They are going back home. Now, folks, as you're listening to this, this was an article written by a Baptist preacher, Noel Smith, back in 1945. And it is being reprinted in the Baptist Vision, of which I'm reading from. It's quite amazing that God did bless, and the people of Israel, they became a nation on May 14, 1948. And they've been struggling to maintain the freedoms that they longed for because of all the infightings, turmoil, and the persecution and the terrorism and all of the world's gathering against the nation of Israel. All this, folks, is playing in the hands of the last days and the prophecies concerning one world religious system, which ultimately will seek to destroy the whole nation of Israel. Also, the Baptist Vision records some interesting articles under its Understanding the Times. Expert on the concept of evil, a religious scholar at Princeton has denounced President George W. Bush for confusing civic discourse by utilizing the word evil. The language of good and evil is the language of religious zealots and of children's stories, said the scholar. Elaine Pagels, who styles herself an authority on the concept of evil, she took specific issue with Bush's use of the word to describe military tech dictator and mass murderer Saddam Hussein, Rocky Mountain News. Well, the reason her definition of evil is such is because she doesn't believe the Bible. Now, therapeutic cloning legal in UK, House of Lords rules. Britain's House of Lords, the highest court in the United Kingdom, ruled definitely this afternoon that therapeutic cloning is legal, reported the London-based Society for the Protection of Unborn Children. And the British Parliament had voted to authorize creation and destruction of cloned human embryos for research purposes by amending a 1990 law on embryo research. The British Pro-Life Alliance challenged the action, claiming that cloning fell outside the scope of that law. Though its argument prevailed at one court level, Britain's Court of Appeal later overturned the ruling. Five lords unanimously rejected the appeal. The lords have interpreted the law in an alarmingly elastic way so as to allow destructive research on human beings created through cloning, said Anthony Adzemik, SPUC's political secretary. Quote, he said, such shifting of the goalpost is unacceptable. Extending the definition of an embryo in 1990 Act is a matter for Parliament, not for the courts. Citizen Link. Now, the pastors also transgress against me. Pastor John Griffin of the Heights United Methodist Church, which, by the way, is part of the apostate denomination, has decided to stage performances of Broadway musical numbers in his church to remedy his attendance problem. He said, "I had a dying church, and we had to do something to bring people in," explains the East Hollywood, California pastor. He said, "The music people love, to my mind, is sacred," said Griffin. The United Methodist bishop, who oversees Crissen Heights, has not condemned the services, offering instead a suggestion that the church be sure to include a number from a famous gay musical. As quoted in the New York Times, God's word, by the way, says in Jeremiah 2:8, "The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit." I tell you what, we are seeing apostasy at an alarming rate. This is just a good example of it. Now consider, if you can't fight it, use it. A recurring advertisement found in Group Magazine had directed at youth pastors admonishes, "Don't burn it, use it." Why fight pop culture when you can use it to spark biblical discussions with your teenagers? The organization behind the sales pitch offers reviews of mainstream music and Hollywood movies. Quote, "We regret that most of these movies are R-rated," states their website. This was reported in What in the World, Volume 33, Number 6. Now, that is incredible how they are promoting such ungodliness in the churches. You know what the Bible says, folks? It says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." And the Bible also says, "Abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul." Going on now, objection. A convicted rapist and murderer in Colorado is calling for his death sentence to be thrown out because the jury, considering his case, allegedly used the Bible in their deliberations. Oh, poor, poor, poor person. The man's attorney argues that religious works must not be used in deliberations because they are not part of state law. Well, the whole Constitution, folks, is based on the Bible. Next, England's Rock and Roll Society paying the price. Rock and roll has transformed England's morals. That if it feels good, do it. Don't worry about tomorrow's philosophy has won the day in many hearts. But there is a price to pay for breaking God's laws, both in this life and in the next. And England is paying the price. One of those is the dramatic increase in sexually transmitted disease. Syphilis rates in Britain have increased 500% in just 6 years. Britain at sex/disease crisis point. London Telegraph had reported the number of cases of gonorrhea had doubled. There were 6,500 new cases of HIV in the year 2002, and rates for teenage pregnancy are the highest in Europe. Well, the Bible's correct. You reap what you sow. If you're going to sow immorality and looseness and wantonness, you're going to reap the whirlwind of these diseases. Next, faith schools should be abolished. A new journal for higher education has released its first issue, and it includes an article arguing that faith schools should be abolished. The author's argument runs like this. Number one, faith schools teach for belief in religious propositions. Number two, no religious proposition is known to be true. Number three, teaching for belief in not known to be true propositions is, when successful, indoctrinary. Hence, faith schools should be abolished. Do you hear the ridiculous things that are coming out of places? Let me tell you, if it wasn't for these faith schools that were biblically based, America would be far more in degradation than it is already. Does the Constitution protect homosexuality? Why don't it say sodomy? In Texas, two homosexuals are asking the U.S. Supreme Court to make it unconstitutional for individual states to criminalize homosexual conduct. Until the 1960s, every state had a law criminalizing homosexual conduct, and it still should. Now just 13 states do. Homosexual sodomy was a capital crime under Roman law. Now, since 1961, homosexual conduct has gone from being a crime in all 50 states to where the Supreme Court will decide whether it is a crime in any state. This reported in the Calvary Condemner. Of course, since then, the Supreme Court of Texas did the unimaginable thing, and they okayed it. I tell you what, unbelievable. All right, leave out the name of Jesus. A Maryland clergyman may not offer the opening prayer at the state senate because he refuses to leave out the name of Jesus. References to a specific deity are disallowed, and some politicians think the prayer should be left out entirely. What needs to be done, they need to be left out entirely from the Senate. If it continues to be non-ecumenical, said one senator, we shouldn't have it. Well, let me tell you something. Prayer without the name of Jesus is worthless, vain, and is an abomination. You know, the Bible says the prayer of the wicked is an abomination. There's no other name under heaven, beloved, that has any power to get through to God Almighty besides, except for the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ. When will they learn? Look how our country is turning against God, turning against the Lord Jesus Christ, turning against the Bible, turning against prayer, promoting immorality in all of its lasciviousness, and promoting sodomy. And where is it all leading? Folks, a nation of forsakes God indeed is going to be turned into hell. I'll tell you what, you better get out there witnessing. You better get out there passing good old-fashioned gospel tracts before the judgment of God comes upon this country. Once again, Secretary Powell shows his true colors. And I'll tell you one thing, it couldn't be anything less than lending a hand to those who hate the nation of Israel. Here's a cartoon drawing that I cut out of the Jerusalem Post, and it has our Secretary Powell, if he's still Secretary Powell by the time you listen to this, he might be running for president. But Secretary Powell is helping the renegade Israeli out from under and around a garbage can of all kinds of failures to encourage peace between the so-called Palestinians and Israel, and attempts by Powell to salvage garbage, as the title goes. Unfortunately, the above cartoon is not representative of the reception given by the EU, Carter, Powell, and the likes to Bilen in Geneva and Washington, D.C. Why hasn't the Knesset passed equivalent of the Logan Act? It would make actions like those of Bilen, which deal with foreign policy and foreign governments, criminal. Those who love Israel recognize the Geneva Accords as a means to destroy the Jewish state of Israel. Colin Powell is a dangerous man. He is in the pocket of the Saudis. His actions are inconsistent with democratic values. He has embraced Bilen, who has been rejected by the overwhelming majority of electorate in Israel. Powell and Carter are enemies of Israel and should be treated as such. This quoted by Women in the Green. This is a group of women of many different backgrounds, particularly Jewish women, but there are some, from what I've heard, some Christian women involved in this thing as well. They're just a political activist group who is trying to expose a lot of the falsehood going on over there politically. Now, of course, as I mentioned many, many times on this broadcast, we do not lend support to anything or any organization that we quote from. But when the facts are being written, and I will read from things that are factual and things that we agree with, and because there are many others out there that see what we see, and we need to benefit from the information. If you want to remain ignorant about things, well, then you will not be able to make proper decisions on what's going on in the world. It baffles my mind, and it's no surprising to me that I'm hearing all the time that these compromising church organizations have a animosity against God's chosen people, Israel. Well, most of them are in the Protestant world, and it's no doubt that this is happening because of the lies that they are being fed by their own leaders and by the news media. But if you're a Bible believer, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you are going to love the Jewish people. And I'm here to say, without any doubt or reservation, we love the Jews. Do you hear me? We love the Jews and we love Israel. And the independent Baptists in the world are going to stand up for the God's chosen people. You can count on that. Now, I want you to stay tuned. Don't go away, because we have more coming your way. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world, and we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of his eye.
showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of Israel.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, and I'm so glad that you decided to stay with us, and you're going to listen now, hopefully. I'm not totally sure, but it all depends how far we go. We've been examining this great, important subject, why does Israel suffer? Have you ever wondered why every single day, practically, Israel is mentioned, and there's always something going on, either terrorist, a suicide bomber, or somebody pulls out a machine gun and mows down Jews, or cemeteries are being attacked and vandalized, and synagogues are being put on fire, and all kinds of anti-Semitic speeches are being heard on the airwaves in the nations of the world, especially the Arab nations. And then we get some kind of a comment made by the Malaysia Prime Minister the Jews control everything by proxy, and all kinds of garbage out there. It seems that the Jewish people are being attacked relentlessly in every way imaginable. Now, the ultimate question is, if they are God's people, why has God allowed them to suffer so much? And why does he continue to allow them to suffer so much? These are very important questions, and there are answers to these questions, not some philosophical book. Nothing coming out of the government's going to produce the real answer. No peace treaty, no politician can figure it out. Folks, the only answer you're going to ever find that's the right answer is what the Bible says, the King James Bible. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if we just get back to the Word of God, all our problems would be solved. That's right. Now, notice here, this is a hard answer to the Jewish people to accept. And perhaps over the years they have received perhaps they've received some kind of inferiority complex over this thing. But I want to tell you right now, if they would but realize the true basis for their suffering, it would bring them that much closer to getting everything figured out. Now, we've examined many, many details of why does Israel suffer. And last broadcast, we looked at how God intended to allow suffering as a means to refine them, and now ultimately to bring them back to himself. In Zechariah chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, "Be ye not as your fathers." I'm reading now from the Jewish scriptures. If you're a Jewish person listening to my voice, I'm not reading from some book. I'm not reading from some Christian commentary. I am reading from the Jewish scriptures. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 4. "Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord." This is the same problem today. The majority of the Israelites and Jews around the world refuse to acknowledge their transgression against the Holy God. Only a very few are starting to see the light. "Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. Zechariah chapter 7, verses 8 to 14, the Bible tells us, should ye not hear the words which the Lord has cried by the former prophets? When Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain? Listen, folks, if you're Jewish, you need not to listen to the rabbis today. They're going to steer you the wrong way. You need to go back to the former prophets who cried out unto the people with truth. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears, that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Even here you can see there is a triune Godhead, he says, which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit. There you go. And, of course, that's not all three of them, but that's at least two parts of God, the Godhead. And you can see God's disgust, his wrath against his own people. Why? Why? Ultimately, to bring them back to himself, to return them to himself. Therefore, it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned. There it goes, nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. It is God's will, folks, that Israel return. And they have returned to the land, partly. There are still millions of Jewish people around the world haven't come back to the land of Israel. But more importantly than to return to the land, folks, he wants them to return spiritually to him so he can save them by the blood of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you stop your ears to that? Will you stop your ears to the truth of even the prophets of old had prophesied about the first coming of the Messiah? Who else could it be except Christ himself? Now let me make a application to Bible-believing Christians today who start to go in a direction that is not the will of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 13, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So if you're being chastised by God, you ought to just thank God you are. It's an evidence you're saved, born again, and on your way to heaven. The Heavenly Father treats us just like your earthly father did, but he sure does it with a lot better means and a lot more compassion than you'll ever imagine. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not, much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he, referring to God Almighty, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Oh, it surely doesn't. But grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down in the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So God's not just singling out the chosen people as a nation to chastise them. No, he chastises all of those who belong to him. I tell you, folks, the chastening of the Lord, it is actually a merciful act of God. We all rather should be burning in the lake of fire for our wickedness. But because God loves us so much, he chasteneth his children. I'm not talking about this false doctrine of the fatherhood of God and the motherhood and the brotherhood and all that junk. I'll tell you what, you got to be born again to be considered a child of the living God. Isn't that what God said? Verily, verily, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But when we're talking about the Jews, even the Jews themselves as individuals need to be born again. They need to get into a right relationship and be covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed, they need redemption. Yes, he came to his own, but his own received him not. But he hasn't forsaken his people that he once knew. But as many, that includes the Jew too, but as many as received him, to them gave he power. They become the sons of God. I'll tell you right now, folks, God wants his people, Israel, to come to repentance. He wants them to come to receive the truth. But on a national scale, God has considered the nation of Israel his people, his covenant people, and he has chastised them as a nation. And they will always be a nation unto God. You see them talked about in what we call the age of grace. You see them talked about during the tribulation period. You see them talked about in the millennial 1,000-year reign of Christ. And you see them talked about in the new earth. So Israel as a nation will always be around. But as individuals, they need to get right with the Holy God just like everybody else does. Now, I've spent quite a lot of time on the reasons why Israel has suffered. Much of it is demonstrating that the displeasure of God upon the chosen people, the apple of his eye, the Jews. And so if you're going to be against what I'm saying, and if you're going to dislike what I'm saying, and if you're going to get pretty mad at what I'm saying, don't get mad at me. You're going to have to deal with God. This is God's doing. This is not anybody else's doing. This is God's doing. If the Jewish people are under persecution, if they are suffering today, it is nobody's fault but their own. Why? Because if they would submit to a holy God, if they would receive their Messiah, if they would get born again, God would protect them. And the enemies of Israel would not have an advantage over them. So what's the lesson to be learned? The lesson to be learned is, we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we need to pray that Jewish people individually will come to know Christ as their Messiah. These are the last days. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh, folks. Time's running out. The handwriting on the wall is there. I mean, folks, you cannot deny it. You cannot deny it. But before we finish this series, why does Israel suffer? I want you to understand the divine reaffirmation of his love for Israel. That's right. God still loves Israel. No matter who hates her, God still loves her. You mean to tell me that God still loves Israel despite all the things that they have done against him? Yes, indeed. That's the kind of love that God has for us. And that's the kind of love he especially has for the Jews. The prophet Isaiah said, "For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee." He's referring to the Jews now, the nation of Israel. "Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." Jeremiah 31 tells us, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry." Oh, would to God, when that will happen, it will be a joyous time, folks, when the nation of Israel comes back together and repents of their transgression against the Holy God. I tell you what, at the end of the tribulation period, in one day, all Israel shall be saved. It will be the greatest conversion the world has ever known. We estimate by today's population statistics that 6 million Jewish people will come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah, and they'll look upon him whom they have pierced, and they'll realize that Jesus was the Messiah all along. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. So the divine reaffirmation of his love. Don't anybody ever try to deceive you into thinking that God doesn't love Israel. Oh, that's the farthest thing from the truth. And what about the divine restoration of Israel? Hosea 5:15 says, "I will go and return to my place," which, by the way, is heaven, "till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early." Now, this is a prophecy of the first and second coming of the Messiah. I will go. Well, where was he coming from? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ came down to die for sinful man. He is God manifest in the flesh. That's just the truth. But he went back to his place, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, folks, until they acknowledge who he is. Like the Bible says, in their affliction they will seek me early, and they will. Two-thirds of all the Jewish people shall die in the tribulation period. Only one-third will live, and they will flee into the wilderness. Hosea 6:2, "After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." Folks, this is just an amazing prophecy of the timing of the Messiah. These 2 days representing three time periods. And historically, it's always been understood that each day representing 2,000 years. Well, folks, after 2 days, the nation of Israel was revived spiritually because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, coming back and giving them life everlasting. But as a nation, they still need to be raised up, and that won't happen until the end of the 6,000 years that we earthlings have been upon this earth. And so even the old Talmudic teachers believed in this, and although the Bible is our supreme authority, even predating the New Testament, according to many of the teachings of the elders of Israel, they believed that the world is to exist 6,000 years. In the first 2,000, there was desolation. 2,000 years, the Torah flourished. And the next 2,000 years is the Messianic era. but through our many iniquities all these years have been lost. He should have come at the beginning of the last 2,000 years. The delay is to our sins. This, of course, I'm reading from the Talmud, Sanhedrin 97a. The Messiah did come, and it was because of the sins of Israel and the world that he had to come the first time in the beginning of the last 2,000 years, because he was to die for our sins, to be our sacrifice, our atonement. So as you see, it all fits together.
Keep his covenant and show with mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of Israel.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent. That is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by freewill offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your freewill donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or GA 30127 USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. My earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast.